Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcasts12. Just go to Indeed.com/podcasts12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcasts12. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
Hello and welcome to Just Interesting, the weekly podcast where we look at interesting stuff that might keep you engaged for an hour or so.
Fascinating. An engaging start.
Not at this rate.
Aren't you
Not
hooked at this already? Rate. You can't let go now. You're just going to listen to the whole thing. Well, joining me, Robin, are Martin and Alex. How are you both, Martin?
How are you both, Martin? I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. It's been a, we've just had a bank holiday weekend, an extra day to relax, yes. To chill, to survive, And it's been good. It's been nice. Nice weather, good company. Well, just family, really. But yeah, good company. And so it's been all right. How about you?
Fine, thank you. Been working over the bank holiday weekend, but not in a bad way. How about you, Alex?
Yeah, I'm good. Definitely needed that extra day to chill and relax. We're getting a hamster, which is exciting.
Oh, wow. Whoa, that's a big step.
Just because, I can't see anyone, so may as well see a little tiny hamster. Why not?
That's a big responsibility, I think.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm up for it yet, but... hopefully I am.
I've had a hamster.
Hopefully I am.
Yeah, I've had hamsters are pretty good. My one just bit me all the time, so I didn't really hold it. But it just did its own thing in the cage. It was fine.
I'm hoping I'll rise to the occasion,
I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will.
I can't imagine a happier hamster than the one owned by you, Alex.
Yeah. Guess what I'm going to call it?
What?
Dick Alex Turpin.
Brown.
Yeah.
I'm not calling it Dick Turpin. Of course.
You better.
Why are you going to call it?
I don't know. That's really my girlfriend's decision.
You've got to now. You've got to call it Dick Turpin.
I can't do that. I can't explain.
Why not?
There'd be no way of me explaining that.
Listen, we have
to call this Dick Turpin. I actually do really like that name as for like a pet or something. Awesome. Yeah. Does he do anything?
Awesome. Action,
please.
I have the cheeks for it. They have the cheeks for Orson Welles.
Actually, he does look like a hamster, doesn't he, a little bit?
Well, for anyone who's not familiar with the podcast, this is all references to our buzzers, which we use in the quiz, which I'll be hosting at the end of today's episode. But before we get onto that, we'll be discussing things that we learned this week and comments of the week from you, our listeners and viewers, on the various platforms you listen to us on, your platform of choice, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, another thing... YouTube.
Stitcher,
that's one.
That's the up-and-comer, isn't it? I don't know.
There's a whole bunch of platforms you can listen to us on. But the main thrust, the meat of the meal today will be memes. Where are they now? We'll be looking at, each one of us will be looking at one of our favourite memes and the people in those memes and what happened to them.
Yeah,
where are they now? Have they gone on to fame and fortune? Are they just ordinary people? Have the memes irreversibly changed their lives? We'll find out, maybe. Can't make any promises today in our discussion.
What inspired that this one? I can't remember. We were talking about Martin's it last idea, week. Yeah, just, but what prompted it?
I can't remember either, though. I think we mentioned the one I'm going to talk about. So I don't want to give too much away, but something that happened a few years later in his life and how he used his success from the meme to help someone very dear to him in his life.
Okay, well, before we get into that topic then, what did you learn this week, Alex?
Oh, okay. Well, I've probably learned, it's probably very much bordering on just interesting. It's, you know, you have to really squint to make this interesting, but I found it interesting. But do either of you know what a kangaroo word is?
Kangaroo Ooh. Word?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so kangaroos jump. They're from Australia.
I'll stop you right there, Martin. If you're going down that line of thinking, it's not going to work out well.
okay.
So a kangaroo word is actually a word that contains a synonym of that word within the word itself. And there's quite a few of these that you may not think of. But like, so chocolate is a one word because it's got what's the synonym of chocolate that's within chocolate itself?
Cocoa.
Exactly, yeah.
Right. Nice.
Masculine is one. For male. Male is within the word itself.
Oh, I see.
You find the letters to make up the word, which is a cinnamon.
So what's
cinnamon.
Kangaroo then? Roo? Is that?
I think it's because it's in the pouch, right?
Yes.
It's a kangaroo inside a kangaroo.
I'm not sure why it's called a kangaroo word. I didn't look that up.
No, that's the reason, right? Because the kangaroo is in the pouch of a kangaroo.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Word inside a word, yeah.
Chicken is one, because what's that going at? No.
Hen,
yes.
Hen.
Nice.
The one that I
like
one that I like is honorable.
Honor?
Ooh.
You would think, honorable. But actually no. Not honor.
Noble.
Noble, exactly.
Noble.
Yeah.
Good. No, you're very correct.
So, yeah.
That's good.
Kangaroo words. There you go. There's one for you this
nice.
Week.
I like that. That's good.
Oh, good. Good.
That's a fun party game. We're going to have to definitely play that.
So. Yeah. I mean, that could be included in a quiz for sure, couldn't it?
It could well be.
Maybe around in a quiz.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea for quiz questions. Oh, that's very good. Well, what did you learn this week, Martin?
Mine couldn't be any further from that fun little word game. Mine's about a stalker. And an unfortunate story of a stalker that happened to a lady called Amanda Plale in 2015. So Amanda Plale, she was from East Sussex, so bordering on Kent in the south of England. And she received a Facebook request from a man called Anthony Reynolds, someone who she dated when she was back in school. And the two, she was married, this woman, Amanda Plale, was married, but she spoke to him just like casually, nothing. Yeah. You know, explicit or anything like that. They just spoke. And Anthony suggested that they meet up for a drink. But Amanda at this point was like, no, I don't want to do that because I'm married, etc.
Yeah.
And so a couple of weeks after she'd had this initial conversation with Anthony, he got back in touch, but he had a completely different demeanor. And he was like basically slagging her off and saying that she was a cheat and that she was unfit to be a mother. And so, you know,
oh, gosh.
He was saying this pretty horrible stuff about her, basically because she had refused to go out for a drink with him. So she was like, she was upset by this. And he didn't stop. He kept on contacting her through her friends on Facebook and saying all this horrible stuff. And she deactivated her account, but somehow he was still able to, you know, to get in touch with her and say all these horrible, horrible things over a matter of months. So she received emails threatening her with horrendous things like rape and threatening to harm her family and hurt her children. So, like, you know, these really, really horrible, serious things that you often hear about with stalkers, you know, really, really horrendous things. Sending her hundreds and hundreds of emails and messages every single day.
Oh, God.
Which is horrible. He also emailed members of her family, including her parents, and also colleagues she worked with.
Oh my God.
So really delving into her life.
What's wrong with this person?
These horrendous things. Yeah, exactly. And so this happened for like 2 years, and he was like taking pictures of her and sending them to her, of like her out and about. and telling and like saying, oh, you were wearing this and that and the other, and really getting into some detail and really freaking her out about what was going on. And so she, you know, she told her husband and said, you know, what shall I do? Shall I go to the police? And her husband was like, well, we should probably be able to deal with this on our own. You know, we don't want to get the police involved because it'd be pretty, you know, bad all round. And in the end, she decided to go to the police. And they said, in a bit of a twist, they said that we've traced the person who's sending you these messages, and it's coming from within inside your own house, from your IP address.
What?
What?
Yep. So these messages had been coming from the woman's husband.
What?
What?
He had been posing as Anthony, obviously trying to flirt, and then when he thought that she was, you know, flirting back or saying something, you know, inappropriate according to him, he set up this tirade of horrendous messages to her, threatening her.
What? I'm so confused. Yeah. But why?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I imagine that he was trying to trap her with this posing as Anthony, this old boyfriend from high school from years ago.
And then when he failed to trap her, he got angry.
I don't know the details of exactly what was said in these messages, but you know, she decided not to go out for a drink with him. I don't know what else was said, but yeah, he just basically turned into an absolute psycho and harassed her for years with these horrendous threats.
I mean,
and she had no idea what was going on.
I mean, the initial decision was psychotic, like to actually make this fake, to find like one of her old schoolmates and make this fake account and catfish your own wife.
That is weird.
Exactly. And the police, even they sent Amanda, they showed her these CCTV cameras of him at the time talking on the phone, taking pictures from his phone of her and then sending them to her. So, you know, she was getting these pictures and not realizing where they were from. It was him, of course, taking them the whole time and sending them across. So they managed to find CCTV. I mean, imagine how betrayed and also just like the chills down your spine when you realized
that this was
the case. Just,
is she still with this man?
Yeah, that's the next question.
Well, he was sentenced. It is the easy answer. And he was sentenced to 3.5 years in prison as well.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. So he was jailed for this, which is
quite severe.
Yeah. You know, it's only right. But yeah, I mean, what a way to destroy your life. It's just unbelievable when I read this. It was insane. Man,
clearly he's got problems. And I feel sorry for her. It's like this, I don't mean to belittle it, but this sounds like, you know, the songs, Kate Bush's Babushka and what's his name's, the Pina Colada song. Kind of like that.
I mean, it's sad though, because of course they had a couple of kids and he can't see the kids. And she's obviously not wanting them to, so they're asking where he is. And it's a really, really sad affair, but just mad, because he, of course, throughout this whole ordeal was comforting her and saying, oh yeah, we'll find out what's going on, for like 2 years. And then it turns out the whole time that it was him.
Yeah, that's all kinds of messed up. Just just out of interest, like, do you know what he was actually charged with? Because... I'm not saying like he shouldn't have been, but like I'm just genuinely interested.
Stalking, and coercive and controlling behaviour.
Yeah,
is the official charge.
Good to know that's a crime.
It like a normal stalking charge be less, but because this was so messed up?
Because I'm kind of impressed that the sentence was that large. I would have assumed the worst of our legal system and thought that they'd give him like 8 months or something, but 3.5 years is a lengthy sentence.
It's a decent amount of time, I guess. His behavior has happened over a number of years, so maybe the extent of it and the extremes that he went to and how vile the stuff he said was, that probably added to it. I know what you mean though, like usually people, you think about stalking cases and you think, oh, they get a slap on the wrist and told stay for, you know, 100 feet away or whatever, and that'd be enough. But yeah, he was jailed, which is good.
Nice. I mean, not nice, absolutely horrendous, but thanks.
Horrible. Bit different from kangaroo words, right?
Yeah, we've both been looking at different things this week, and that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm afraid I don't think I can follow that up, but it's just a historical fact that I found quite interesting, and nothing detailed. But did you know the windscreen wiper was invented in 1902 by a woman called Mary Anderson when she was stuck in New York traffic in the rain?
Oh,
I didn't know that.
I did not know that. How did she invent it when she was stuck in traffic in the rain?
I knew you'd ask me that. There's a detailed. I've got diagrams and things, but I thought I'd keep it simple. And I think she invented the concept when she was in the rain. In
you know, it'd be good right now.
And I went and designed it.
to not have rain on this windshield.
Yeah, exactly. That whole because the original ones were hand activated. They weren't mechanical windscreen wipers. The original ones, they were just, you'd turn a little knob at the top of the windscreen, and the wiper would turn. Which must have been quite distracting when you're driving.
Yeah, I was going to say, imagine it's torrential. You have to be like turning this constantly back and forth to get rid of the rain. That sounds mental. Good invention, though. I imagine it saved countless lives.
Yes. Yeah. And I don't know about you, but there's a certain... I find a certain pleasure. Maybe it's the rhythm of it, of windscreen wipers. In the rain, driving in the rain with windscreen wipers on, it's just kind of enjoyable. But that's just me.
The repetitive sound is quite comforting, and it's like coming from outside. You feel kind of safe and protected in a little, you know.
And it's fun the way the windscreen is clear for one moment, and then it's covered in rain, and then it's clear again. It's like, ooh, it's like magic.
Yeah, there's something about that for sure. What's not so good is when, like me, you had a windscreen wiper that was just rubbing up against the glass and making a horrendous sound. Screeching rubber. Yeah.
Fair enough. What was her name, Robin?
Mary Anderson.
Did she win the Nobel Prize?
Probably not. I think somebody I went to university with was doing engineering, and they went to work for a firm, and the person who owns the firm is an engineer who invented the thing that pops toast up in the toaster.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What, spring?
That's cool.
I think so. No.
I don't know what it was, the toaster.
I may be confusing it with the kettle. It was either the thing that turns the kettle off or the thing that pops the toast up in the toaster. And they said that this person owns this engineering company. And even though the engineering company makes a loss, they don't really care about it because the guy's got so much money from patenting this one little device, this component that makes the kettle and toaster function.
So does he get like royalties every time a kettle is made, basically, or sold?
Just because he's got that. If you own the patent, people have to pay you in order to use your design.
He gets one penny for every kettle that's sold in the world.
It's a flat fee.
Yeah.
Straight in his pocket. Yeah.
I mean, hey, I'd take it. That's enough for me to live on.
that's what you want, though, isn't it? You want to be paid for inventing a integral component that has to be used in everything going forward. That's what you want.
Yeah.
And then never work again.
Exactly.
Or maybe he hates it now. Maybe he can't use kettles because he sees it as this, like, that's when he peaked, you know, and now he doesn't like overcome it, the sense of...
He doesn't like hot drinks. Yeah. Or if he does have the occasional hot drink, he heats it up in a pan because
every time,
as you say,
every time the water reaches the perfect temperature and that little switch flicks off, it just, you know, it's another kind of switch flicks in his brain, and this has really gone off the rails. I don't know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, he just sits there, it's like looking forlornly at the kettle on the kitchen side, thinking, "I'll never do better than that. I'll never."
Yeah. Still there.
moving on. What comments have you got from the past week from our viewers and listeners?
Well, I've got a comment from that Terrence guy on our last podcast last week, and he says, "So the trend continues, Robin? I guess we've moved off animal genitals this week. So I really wonder about next week." And this is in reference to the fact the last two podcasts before this, you've brought up genitals of some kind, Robin, and in kind of gruesome ways.
Yes.
Well, I resisted this week.
It was the sheep thing, wasn't it?
The castration knife. Castration tool, whatever it was. And then it was...
You resisted it last week, didn't you? But is this a trend that's continuing, or... Have you
oh, well, I mean, today I almost brought in the fact because I was watching an interesting film on Amazon Prime the other day called The Professor and the Madman, which is a true story. And the madman of the title, partway through the film, this is minor spoilers, cuts off his genitals. And
it's not that he's on screen.
It's an interesting film. As a result of that, I learned a new word, which was autopenectomy, which is...
It doesn't sound good.
We can guess what it is. Ectomy is a surgical procedure where you remove something. Mm-hmm. Penectomy. Mm-hmm. Auto. Doing it to yourself. Yep. Yeah. So there you go.
Autopenectomy.
Mm. Although, this is what's interesting about this. There is some debate, I think, about whether that or another term, which is peotomy, P-E-O-T-O-M-Y, I think, about which one should be the medical term. Like, different doctors use different words for the procedure, apparently.
I like how you're quickly developing this party trick where you can just rattle off like dozens of facts about castration and
well, I've got to have something in my corner.
I couldn't juggle, so I just decided knowledge about castration is a suitable thing.
Whenever there's just a lull in a conversation with a group of people, it's like, so do you guys know what an autopenectomy is?
Did you know there's a lull in conversation every 7 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
That's nice. That's a thing. Well, moving on, I've got a comment from that LaBelle kid, not related, I don't think, to your person, Alex, who commented on our last podcast titled "Is Disinformation Winning Elections?" Bit of a controversial topic about the way... apparently, the winners of recent political elections in America and the UK have been using disinformation. But their comment wasn't about that at all. The podcast was slightly late, and they said, "I feel like I was starting to have withdrawals from not listening. This is the only podcast that I consistently listen to and never miss an episode. Thanks for making such really great content." Yeah, and they finish off by saying, "Thanks for making such great content." And is Dick Turpin in these comments?
So... Oh, nice.
That was just such a lovely comment and such a funny comment too.
Oh, nice. Well, I've got one. It's a little bit more practical, actually. It's from Sam Mainman. And Sam says, "You guys need to do something about your notification bill. It doesn't work for some reason. And I don't think the content of this channel is made specifically for kids, because if it's made for kids, you can't get the notification bell, I believe. Anyway, we've got a little bit of a solution. Well, what's potentially a solution to this? And that is, if you are subscribed, that's when you can click on the notification bell. But apparently there's a glitch where you have to unsubscribe and then resubscribe again. And then the notification bell, fingers crossed, should work. So Sam and anyone else who's tried to click on that notification bell, but it hasn't been working, give that a go. It might work, it might not. But that has worked for one or two people who've asked in the past week what to do. So hopefully that will be a fix to it.
Thank you for clicking that notification bell. It's one of those really annoying YouTube glitches that's really important, and we've heard it from a lot of people. That was really, really. Thanks for finding that solution, Martin. Because I don't know, I haven't known what to do about that, to be honest.
No, and we've had so many comments. I've gone back through the back end so many times and changed things
as you do, Martin.
See if something would work. So it's good to know that is one potential solution.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's really good to know. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, everyone else who's drawn our attention to that. And thank you, Martin, for finding a solution. But if I may selfishly say, please do that. Unsubscribe and resubscribe and hit the notification bell icon again on YouTube. But if you do unsubscribe, please do make sure you resubscribe, because we're very close to 25,000 subscribers on YouTube. Really nice to hit that soon.
So smash that like button.
No, we're not going to go.
No, none of that. Don't do that. Deliberately don't.
With all that said and done, that's the new YouTuber phrase, isn't it? Let's go on to our main topic this week, which is memes. Where are they now?
I feel like we've all chosen early day memes, which makes sense because you're more interested in where they ended up after they became viral sensations.
Absolutely.
But I feel like, the format of memes themselves have altered drastically since the early days of the internet. Back when, these like viral stars, they would have you know, the top text and the bottom text. You don't really get those kind of memes these days, do you?
No, I guess GIFs have kind of, the rise of the GIF, the proliferation of the GIF has really kind of replaced that, I feel.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I think memes before were definitely generated based on either an image or a video of something very, very specific. It would be like someone's funny face or them doing like a funny act. Whereas now it's like there's a little bit more backstory and a bit more nuance.
Mm. Yeah, so I remember seeing this years and years ago and finding it hilarious and then finding out the context of it and feeling really bad about it. But do you have either of you seen the Star Wars Kid
videos? Yes.
Oh, that's like one of the first. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, this was for those of you who haven't seen it, the few people who haven't seen it, I imagine. This was one of the very early YouTube videos, actually, that went kind of viral. It's up there with like Numa Numa and Chocolate Rain and that kind of thing.
Yes.
But it shows this 15-year-old basically in a room with a black screen, and he's practicing like Darth Maul Star Wars moves and doing some like trying his best to do some epic Star Wars lightsaber moves, and obviously that they don't look the most polished. I'll say that diplomatically. But yeah, but the really sad thing with this story is that he recorded this using school equipment, like on the camera, and he was being bullied at school, and basically some people at his school found this. He didn't delete it, and uploaded it, sent it around on emails initially, and then someone uploaded it to a website, and it kind of spread and went viral, basically, and he became just overnight essentially this internet sensation, and not in a good way. And since then, like, he featured in South Park, I think. He was in their meme episode.
Yeah, there
he
was, yeah.
Yeah, so very unfortunate. And he So his name is Ghislaine Raza. I think it's like a French name, so I've definitely butchered that.
How do you spell his first name?
It's like Ghislaine, but G-H-Y.
Ghislaine Maxwell.
Yeah, but it's G-H-Y.
Like Maxwell, yeah.
I think he's Ghislaine Raza. And I think it kind of sent him down in a bit of a depressing spiral. Initially, like, I think he had to leave school. And he had to have some therapy and that kind of thing.
Oh man, that's really sad. The joy of memes has a dark side.
Yeah, exactly. Apparently in 2013, he told an outlet, regarding like all of the internet comments, everything he saw was really mean. It was violent. Oh. People were telling him to commit suicide and that kind of thing.
Oh,
and he said, no matter how hard I tried to ignore people telling me to commit suicide, I couldn't help but feel worthless, like my life wasn't worth living, which is horrible. Horrible. Imagine going through this. Apparently, the video has been seen by over 1 billion people, like all the different videos that have been made off the back of it. So there are obviously remixes, and it was shown in like South Park and that kind of thing.
Mm. Yeah.
But there is an upside to the story, though, and that's
okay.
That.
Good,
and that's that. He basically managed to turn everything around. His family, first of all, sued the families of the children that uploaded this content. Basically,
wow.
And they managed to reach a settlement out of court, I think.
No way.
But also, he went on to become a lawyer, and I think he actually specialized in. This kind of area of like,
copyright and privacy violations.
Well, in 2013, when he was 25 years old, he decided to dedicate his time to speaking out against cyberbullying, the kind of cyberbullying that he experienced, and to offer support to anyone going through anything similar.
Yes.
Yeah. And he says,
cool. That's really cool.
You'll survive. You'll get through it. You're not alone. And you are surrounded by people who love you. So yeah, I thought that was like a nice uplifting end to something that's really mean. But it kind of makes you think about how horrible some of those early day memes were. Like, I feel like that wouldn't, that kind of thing, I don't know, what do you think? Do you think it would happen today? I mean, first of all, the video, you watch it now and it's just not that funny. If anything, people would find it like, think he was doing it ironically and it could springboard him into a successful YouTube career.
Yes, I think today people would be much more cynical when they approach it, wouldn't they?
I remember seeing that for the first time when I was a lot younger, and you just think it's kind of funny, don't you? Like some guy who's pretty bad at it. It's like you don't necessarily think of what the backstory is going to be.
Exactly.
I mean, I wonder how he feels about the whole situation now, whether he thinks that overall, like, net positive or net negative on his life. It's obviously inspired him to speak out, and he thinks he's doing a good job.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully doing a good job in terms of like helping other people who've had issues. But it really does show the power of the internet on like the individual. And it's pretty much random who ends up being a star because of these things.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible, as you know, it's very much impossible to like manufacture.
I mean, also it's
spontaneous viral video.
Yeah. I think with this one in particular, it's more like with the kind of static image memes, someone could just be pulling a funny face and that gets memed and goes viral. And you kind of think in that situation, oh, okay, well, you know, it was very unlikely, but it just happened out of chance. Whereas this is like your personal most embarrassing moment that we've all like taken pictures of ourselves or done some embarrassing videos.
Well, speak for yourself, Alex.
But imagine if that just went absolutely viral and everyone, over a billion people saw it, you'd be utterly humiliated.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine the emotional torment he'd have been going through when that went viral.
Yeah,
although I would like to point out that there were some positive spins on it, because I mean, when I first encountered that, I remember feeling weird and not finding it funny because I couldn't figure it out. I wasn't sure what I was looking at. Because I didn't know whether this guy had deliberately shared it. I remember thinking, why would you share yourself, embarrassing yourself like that? And I didn't find it funny. But then I do remember one version of it that I really did like was someone had taken his video of him failing dramatically to do a Darth Maul lightsaber and had turned his broomstick into lightsabers. You know, they'd used like Adobe After Effects where it was turned to lightsabers, cool. And then added effects of the lightsabers destroying the room around him when he was hitting things. And I remember thinking that was great, and I feel like that's a positive spin on it. That's somebody saying, what if this guy was really using a lightsaber? What would happen? And going to a lot of effort to recreate that effect on this video. And I feel like that wasn't necessarily mocking him. That was just kind of...
Yeah, I think that is something that the internet can do. They could take something that's intended in a negative and actually make something positive out of it. Another thing on that same level was there was an online petition that started to try and get him a cameo role in the Star Wars prequels.
Oh, nice.
And I think it was signed by over 100,000 people. It never happened in the end, but I think that kind of thing is something a bit positive.
Yeah.
I don't think it was made in jest. I think it was a genuine
give this fan a chance.
Oh, he's clearly really passionate about Star Wars. Get him in the prequels. Yeah, immortalize him in his favorite franchise.
I think it was Screen Junkies in the Honest trailer they did for The Last Jedi, where they made a connection between the little boy at the very end of the film who's holding a broomstick as he looks up at the stars. And he can use the Force, and he summons the broomstick at the end of the film. And they made a connection between that and Broom Boy, the meme video. And I was I'd like to think that maybe the new Star Wars films did absorb that into canon and were like, we're going to put a positive spin on this and say, like, even Broom Kid, he was a genuine, passionate fan, and he's the future of the good guys, of the Rebellion.
Yeah. That would be a nice thought.
Well, my meme is from 2007, and it involves, at the time, the 11-month-old Sammy Griner, also known as Success Kid. Do you know the one?
That's one of my favourite. Yep.
With his fist in front of him, clenched, and he's actually holding some sand. And people turn this into a whole load of different things, but basically... epic wins, right? It was pretty much made for of people, saying, all sorts of things, but very much a positive spin on it. which is good, which is a good thing.
Yeah, it was quite a nice one.
It was a nice one. And the story goes that his mum and dad were at the beach and they caught the photo of him just as he was about to put a handful of sand into and so they snapped this photo of him and they thought it was really, really good. So his mum shared it up on Flickr. And within the first day, there were a couple of hundred likes. So it actually got a bit of traction immediately. But then in the couple of years following this, it lay pretty much dormant. So no one really saw it. Mm. And then a couple of years after this, she started to see it get a bit of traction again up on Flickr, and then saw it getting shared around loads and loads of different social media sites as well. So then it became like a meme, as we know. So Sammy's mum, being the finance savvy person that she is, or business savvy, like patented it and licensed it out to lots of different people. Including Vitamin Water, Virgin Mobile, had t-shirts made of it, which were sold in a whole load of high street stores. She got licensed it out to Xbox to have it as screensavers. Wow. And it was used even in a Super Bowl advert with Coca-Cola in 2015 as well.
Wow.
So she certainly was savvy enough to make a bit of money out of this as well, you'd hope you would, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting, because that's like, I always wonder how this kind of thing happens. And you imagine it's this kind of spontaneous, the internet just takes over something and blows it up. And I guess that does happen in a lot of cases, but this is like almost designed meme. she's really,
very clever.
Exactly.
It is. But...
yeah. And it was even used in by Barack Obama during his immigration reform campaign in 2013. So this meme got around massively, and as we know, it's been used in millions of different ways, which is fantastic. But the real highlight of this was the way in which Sam managed to use this meme to actually generate revenue and funding for a very, very important cause. And this was in 2015. His dad, Justin, he needed a kidney transplant because he had basically found out a couple of years earlier that he'd had kidney failure, due to a chronic disease that he didn't know about before, and so he needed all this funding for the anti-rejection. Oh, my cat's jumping over me. For the anti-rejection drugs, which cost a lot of money, so they're reluctant at first to actually use it because they don't want to just kind of, be using a meme in order to generate funds for charity, essentially.
Yeah.
But in the end, they decided to go ahead with it. And they managed to raise over $100,000, which meant that he could have this surgery. So basically, without this, his life would have been shortened massively because he was already on dialysis for 6 years. His dad was, or 5 or 6 years, I can't remember exactly. So he managed to use it for something so amazing that probably wouldn't have been able to happen. His dad probably wouldn't have been able to have a kidney transplant without these funds, which is just,
I mean, it almost does make insane. Me a bit depressed that he had to do that in order for, like,
yeah, I mean, it does, yeah, it does, yeah, say a lot about the state of the UK, the US medical system, yep, right? The fact that if you can't prove that you have the funds to pay for your anti-rejection drugs, you can't have the transplant in the first place. It just seems mad. Yeah. Luckily, we don't have that situation here in the UK, which is good. Mm. So yeah, more recently, the meme was used by a right-wing Republican called Steve King for his fundraising efforts for the Republican Party. And so she sent a cease and desist notice to him saying that he was a vile man and that she didn't want anything to be associated with the party. Wow. So that's the kind of the other side of it. It's being used by people that you definitely disagree with and being used in ways you don't like.
Yeah.
But overall, because Sam was, he was like a really premature baby, and the meme kind of came about when he was only 11 months old, so it's still fresh in their mind of this time in their life, this kind of fairly traumatic time for people that have children who are very premature. Him being called Success Kid, she said, was just like the most appropriate name for him because of what he'd been through. And managed to survive and thrive so well.
It must be so surreal growing up. And you wouldn't really have that kind of understanding of just, or this bizarre, like, these, like, really famous people you were in the Super Bowl and you didn't even know it.
Yeah.
Obama used a race campaign ad.
Yeah,
that must be so weird.
Madness. I mean, he says it's weird, and sometimes he thinks it's the best thing in the world, and of course sometimes he doesn't like the attention. But he still has people come up to him and recognize him, even though he looks entirely different. Wow. Was he 14? 14 years old?
They can recognize him from the picture of him as a baby.
Yeah, people recognize him. Yeah. I don't know whether people have then seen interviews or then and now since, which might be the case, that people have seen him as a 12, 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old in interviews and recognize that version of him rather than as a baby. But yeah, people still come up to him when they recognize him. And so he's like an artist, does lots of painting. He's very good for his age. But he says, and I thought this was quite a fitting line, that he hopes to create art that's as inspiring, inspires people just as much as the success kid Mean has done. So I thought it was quite a nice thing to say.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That is really nice.
So yeah, a very, very much a positive experience from them, kind of in quite stark comparison to your one there, Alex.
Yeah. Well, that's a really great positive story. Yeah, I think. And I find it interesting almost like how he became a meme before he even, you know, would be so. That must be very surreal for him in particular, but at least it was a positive meme, and he was able to make some positive things out of it.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and some cash.
Yes. The meme that I've gone for is basically in between the ones that you've chosen, very middle of the road, and it's the Ermaged meme, which I'm sure most people are familiar with, but just in case they're not, it's a picture, it's an image meme like Success Kid, of a girl with very very silly looking ponytails or pigtails, I guess, kind of rising up from the top of her head and going out to the side, and she's wearing, I guess, what can best be described as grandma clothes, a woolly jumper with sheep on it, and a waistcoat with a bizarre pattern on, and a brightly coloured bag. And she's wearing pretty embarrassing braces that most people would not want to be seen wearing. And she's pulling a very strange expression, an excited expression, I think, whilst holding three books from the Goosebumps series by R.L. Stein. And normally it's at the top of the image, you'll see the text that says Ermaged, and then something at the bottom. The original one would be Goosebumps or Bix. But it's quite common for the item that she's holding to be replaced by something like a Batman toy, and she'll be like Ermaged, Batman. Or she's sometimes been taken out of the photo and been inserted into scenes from films like Jurassic Park, I think, is a famous one, where it's Ermaged, Velociraptors, and stuff like that. Mm. Or the Titanic, I think.
The internet truly is a very magical place.
And the point is, it's phonetically spelt kind of mispronunciation, I guess, or nerdy pronunciation of, oh my god, I'm so excited about this thing. And it's usually used in a positive way.
Yeah,
but it's obviously a little bit mocking of her, of her expression. It's funny because I remember this being one of the early memes that I was aware of and thinking, oh, I loved it from the beginning because I thought this is great. But it originated in March 2012, which is surprisingly late.
Yeah, I thought it was probably older.
Yeah, I would have guessed it was a lot older because, yeah. But no, it originated in March 2012 on Reddit, and somebody just shared the picture without any kind of text on it. But it took less than a day before somebody had turned it into a meme and written captions on it, which was Ermaged, Bix. That was it. It was a meme. It was like within 2 weeks, it was on the front page of Reddit. It had been shared thousands and thousands of times and millions of views. And I think now there's 1,000 different variants of it, and at least. And it's got over a billion shares or something like that. But even within the month of it becoming a meme, some online detectives have found out who the person was in the photograph, and it was a woman called Maggie Goldenberger, who at the time the photograph was taken was only 11 years old, but in 2012 was in her early 20s. So the photograph was actually quite old.
Oh, yeah, I see.
And she confirmed it was her, in a 2015 interview with Vanity Fair magazine, and which is kind of impressive. And she said the highlight of her the whole experience with this meme was the fact that Vanity Fair came around and wanted to do an interview. And in the article, she told the story of how the picture was created. And actually, the funny thing is that the picture itself is a joke. So she was 11 years old when the picture was taken. And she said that she and her friends at that age used to play fancy dress using a dress-up box full of accessories and old clothes that was owned by her friend. So they'd go around to her friend's house and they'd dress up, and they had a Polaroid camera and they would take silly photos. Mm-hmm. And so this whole thing with the Goosebumps books and the bad hair and the retainer and the terrible clothing is all deliberately terrible because it was a funny picture. It was a Polaroid that she put up on. She put it up on her fridge for years afterwards. She just liked it. And then eventually she scanned it into the computer, put it up onto MySpace and her Facebook profile, never intending for it to be accessed by somebody else. Because, of course, Facebook photos are public to anybody, even if they don't have a Facebook account, unless you make them private. And this was the early days of Facebook, so she hadn't made it private. And somebody stumbled across the photo, put it onto Reddit because it was funny, and then it became a meme. Oh, yeah,
that's cool.
Unsurprisingly, she says it's a weird experience every time she comes across the photo or a meme using that photo on the internet. But she says that she generally feels people are laughing with her and not at her, because she knows it's not her in the photograph. It's her in this silly getup.
There's got to be a couple of things here. The fact that, yes, it wasn't her. People aren't laughing at her per se. Yeah, they're laughing at this persona that she's created. And also the fact that by the time it was discovered, she's so much older. The time has passed.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not like you're going to be bullied at school. Well, hopefully not, for something that happened so long ago and that she looks so different.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's, if anything, it's a testament to how successful she was in making this like comic character. Yeah. That the entire world bought it and ran with it. Like, that's an amazing accomplishment.
Having said that, Robin, you're probably now going to say how she was bullied relentlessly.
No, I'm not. I mean, there is a slightly dark side. She's admitted that when this meme became celebrated and people tried to find out who she was, someone did find her then current profile and shared pictures of her from her social media in a bikini on the beach. Naturally, it's the internet, so lots of people made lots of very objective comments, a lot of them very cruel about her. And she said that wasn't pleasant.
Yeah.
Because it's suddenly,
people
were making unpleasant comments about her as a person in her real self rather than in the persona of this photograph. But apart from that brief spell, she said she's generally happy with it. And she's 32 now and she works as a nurse. She gave an interview in 2017 when she said she hoped to maybe travel a bit, travel the world and do medical care in other countries. I assume she's still a nurse and I really hope she's doing well on the front lines in the current pandemic.
No, that's I'm glad that she hasn't been like torn up about
it. It's,
because if that was actually her and she was that age, that could have been relentless school time for her.
To be honest,
could have been a horrible time.
Finding out the origin of this meme, it was a bit of a relief because I've always assumed that was her real appearance and that's how she looked. And it's just a really unfortunate. Yeah. It's like those, was it Bad Luck Brian and that other pervy Steve or whatever
Scumbag
it is?
Steve.
Yeah.
Yes.
Scumbag Steve. Steve, that's right.
There's actually there's some information on him I've got as well. Where basically he said that image of him as Scumbag Steve, he was 16 and they were his clothes, but it was his mum who took the picture. And she was taking it for a photography course or something.
Oh.
And his name's Blake Boston. Oh. But he used the picture on on his own rap album. But apparently he seems like actually quite a nice guy, which is the kind of the sad thing about that meme, really. But he seems to have taken it in his stride, and he's tried to help people, similar to the Star Wars kid. He tries to help people who become memes, try and get over it, because you know, that wasn't a very nice meme for him. It's literally just people, his scumbag, assuming he's a scumbag just because of his appearance.
The name of the meme.
It's an absolutely horrible scumbag one. Steve. And when, I don't know if you know, the annoying Facebook girl meme. But it's also not a very nice one. It's just like an image of a girl and who apparently looks like an annoying Facebook girl. But he offered her some advice and just said, go search annoying Facebook girl images on Google Images, pull up a chair with a group of friends and laugh your ass off, because you know who you are and how strong you are, and that picture has nothing to do with what makes you you. Hopefully you'll get where I am, feeling like some memes are hysterical, but that takes time. If I'm here if you need me, I'm sorry you're hurting. Which is just such a nice message and understanding as well.
Yeah, it seems like he's been there, done that. He's through it.
Exactly,
through the worst of it and can help other people. That's really cool. It must be so difficult to deal with, whether it's positive or negative, just the attention on you, based on something that 99% of the time you have no control over as well. Just that spread, that viral spread of it. It's just...
You'll have to let us know.
Seems to come out of nowhere.
What it's like, Alex, when you become a meme.
Well, that's it.
That's my dream.
You will be
that's
a meme
the dream.
One day.
Yeah. I think we're past that golden age of memes, though. Like, I don't think there's these classic.
Oh, I'm sure there's room for one more. Dick Turpin shit.
Bring it back. We'll make memes trendy again.
Fingers crossed.
Well, I hope. I found that really interesting. I hope everyone listening at home has found that interesting. And I hope everyone who's been the subject of a meme is okay and has come to love it rather than despair over it.
And all the memes we talked about today, let's have some links in the description so you can see them.
Yeah, absolutely. Put links in the description. And anyone watching on YouTube, they'll be on screen as well. They'll have been on screen.
And let us know in the comments what your favourite meme was of the last... Well, of the 21st century, shall we say. What's the best one?
I can't wait to see what people say. Do you two want to do a quiz? Welcome to this week's quiz, where we've got Martin versus Alex. And I believe Alex is the reigning champion.
I am, for the first time ever on the Just Interesting podcast. Yes. I'm in the lead.
The Just Interesting podcast, but not the first time ever. But I think it's a close run thing. I think, Martin, if you won this, you might be able to snag a draw with Alex in the league table.
Yeah, I think he would have played less games, so to speak.
Absolutely. So, as usual, there'll be 10 questions and a bonus question in case there's a tie or just for fun. But first, gentlemen, play me your buzzers. Martin.
I've gone for the meme continuation.
Yeah.
Jesus have souls. I go to church. I'm a Christian. You don't know me. You're not God.
There we go. So that's Jesus have souls.
Alex, what's your buzzer?
I've also gone for a meme continuation, and I hope this doesn't make the video copyright claimed.
Chocolate rain.
There we go. Lovely.
Oh, so good.
Nice.
That's good. I should have thought about that. My quiz contains no meme questions, I'm afraid. I'm sorry about this. I should have prepared.
Outrageous.
But let's get stuck in. Question number one, fingers on buzzers.
Okay.
Testing your musical history knowledge.
Oh, dear. Unless it's Chocolate Rain, I'm not going to know anything.
Which famous singer lived at Graceland?
No, I'm thinking Alex? It's a different... It's not Michael Jackson, is it?
It's not Michael Jackson.
It's Neverland.
Neverland, the theme park.
Neverland, yeah. Graceland.
Yeah.
Ooh. Who would it be? What about...
Jesus have souls!
Graceland. Let's go for Elvis.
It is Elvis. Oh. Elvis Presley. Nice one.
Cool.
Yeah.
So... 1-0 to Martin. Going to question two. Simple question, or a simple answer. True or false? A baker's dozen has 12 chocolate items.
Ooh, tissues have souls.
I think
there's
chocolate rain. So, Alex?
False.
Correct. It is false.
The 13.
It has 13, yeah.
I knew I had to get in there quick because Martin does like his baking.
In the past life, Martin was a baker.
Yes. A baker of bread. 13 loaves at a time.
Yeah, apparently it's to do with laws against medieval English laws that made it illegal to undersell bread. You can't control the size of a loaf of bread. It depends on how much is going to rise in the yeast. So just to be on the safe side, they'd make an extra loaf of bread and throw it in for free to make sure that they didn't get penalized under the law.
That's really interesting because I always just assumed it was because they were like it was a baker's dozen because they would have spare left. It wouldn't be exactly
12. I thought that's
12.
What it was. It would always be 13. Yeah. Well, that's one all going into question three.
Here we go.
How many sides does a dodecagon have? Again, I think that was chocolate rain. Alex?
20.
No.
Dang.
Martin?
I thought it was 10.
No.
Dodeca what?
Dodecagon. Chocolate rain. Yes, Alex?
Is it 18?
No.
Ah, I was thinking like octagon.
Dodeca.
And you're both right that it's more than 10. That's the decagon yes. bit.
Oh, actually, is it 2p or dodecagon? 12.
Yes, it's 12.
Oh, no.
Yeah. 20p, right? Is that
Dekan? Maybe. No. I don't
is that 7, actually?
No.
It's maybe 7.
Possible. No, I don't think so. I don't think it has that many sides. But yes, it is 12. That's, I guess you're on the right tracks when you said 20, because it's 2 and 10, but it's not 2 times 10. Dodecagon, it's 2 plus 10.
12, yeah. Yes.
So, 2-1 to Martin, going into question 4. Which country won the first ever Eurovision Song Contest? I mean, that was Alex.
I go to church. I'm a Christian.
I'm just absolutely. Was it Denmark?
It was not Denmark.
Was it Ireland?
It wasn't Ireland. They had their winning streak in the 90s, didn't they? But they were not the first to ever win it.
The first? Oh.
The very first. Yes, Alex?
Don't know me.
Was it Sweden?
Nope.
Martin?
You're not God.
Was it the grand country of the United Kingdom?
It wasn't. That would be nice, though, wouldn't it? But no, it wasn't.
It would be nice.
All downhill since then.
No, we never win.
No, let me see if I can give you a clue. I mean, they're in Europe.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is it's a bigger clue than people listening at home might think, because Israel is in the Eurovision Song Contest. So, you know.
Yes, yeah, and Australia as well.
And Australia,
right?
Yeah. So.
Yeah. In Europe.
Yeah.
Is it Germany?
No.
Oh, I actually don't know when it started.
I can tell you that. It was 1956.
Oh, okay.
Oh, who was popular in the 50s?
Yeah.
Who was popular in the... Which country was popular,
which country's
in,
popular
the
in the 50s? Let's go for...
Yep.
I don't know what you said then, but let's go for Hungary.
No, it wasn't. Okay, I'll give you a clue. They speak French in this country. That was Martin.
Could it be Switzerland?
Oh, it is Switzerland.
Damn it, no.
Oh, perfect guess.
Yeah, I don't remember them actually being in it. I don't know if they still do it or what.
Yeah, I don't
imagine
know.
That. They do, surely, yeah.
Presumably, yeah. If you're in it, you're in it
if
for life,
Israel
surely.
In it.
Yeah.
Okay, question number 5, and I think it's 3-1 to Martin.
Oh, dear.
This is all right, Alex. This is the closest wins. So
oh, good.
You got
like
a chance.
Okay.
In kilometres, how far is the moon from the sun? Closest wins.
Oh, my goodness.
In kilometres?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, it varies, doesn't it, a bit? But...
Chocolate rain. I imagine in the grand scheme of things, like... We're not going to know. It's going to be the difference between Earth to the Sun is marginally, basically the same. I feel like the distance from where
that
we
would
are.
That be a logical assumption. Yes.
I don't know, so I'm going to say 50 million miles.
Okay. In kilometers.
I mean, it's kilometers.
That's what I mean. Yep. 50 mil. That would be what, 80 million kilometers. But I'm going to go 50 million kilometers. That's what
okay,
I meant.
Okay, so you're going with 50 million kilometers.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep.
I thought it was less than that. Why not just split it in half? Let's go for 25.
Ooh. Okay, well, Alex is closer. It is. I think if we were 25 million kilometers from the sun, we would be dead. So
I don't know how far we are from the sun.
The moon is an average of 150 million kilometers away from the sun.
Okay. 150.
Yeah. And it varies because,
that's quite an easy. Yeah, that's what. Yeah.
The moon orbits the Earth, so it actually gets closer to the sun than the Earth ever does and gets further away from the sun than the Earth ever does.
But I imagine it's like. Is the vast expanse of difference mainly between? Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like we're quite comparatively close together, Earth and the Moon, compared to the vast difference between us and the Sun.
Yeah.
Yes. It's pretty much the same. 150 million kilometers. So Alex got that point because he was closest. So that's 3-2, I believe, to Martin. 3-2, going into question 6. Which country was the first in modern history to have a woman as their head of government?
Just let rain.
Yes, Alex. Some stay dry at-
was it? Oh, it's not going to be that. No. Was it the UK?
It wasn't.
Oh.
Oh my goodness, who the hell was it? It was someone. It's someone unusual, though. It's someone you wouldn't necessarily think.
It's the head of government. I feel like I've heard this fact before as well.
Mm. Yeah, I've got a feeling it was someone in Eastern Europe. Let's go for. Oh, it won't be them, will it? No. Let's go for the Czech Republic.
No, but I'll give you a clue. It is Eastern Europe.
Hmm.
And between the two of you, you've been very close.
Just let me.
I go to church. I'm a Christian.
Yeah. That was Alex, I think.
Romania.
No.
I was going for Ukraine.
It is the Ukraine.
Damn it.
Yeah. In 1917.
Wow.
Wow.
Yevgenia Bosch, the first woman head of government in the world, thanks to the Soviets. Wow. Yeah, a wave of Soviet governments in the wake of the First World War elected women as their heads of state, or head of government at least. And yeah, Yevgenia Bosch in Ukraine is considered to be the first.
Wow.
So that's, I've lost count now. 4-2 to Martin into question 7. So there's definitely time for Alex to bring this back.
Sure is.
This might be a fingers on buzzers question. It depends on how good your memories are. But it's definitely one that you both know the answer to.
Okay.
Joseph Allen Schreibvogel is better known as...
Church, I'm a Christian.
Yes, Martin?
Joseph Mengele?
No.
Seen that previous podcast.
Yes, Alex?
Is it Dick Turpin?
No. No.
What was the name again?
Joseph Allen Schreibvogel. He's American, so my pronunciation is not helpful in that regard.
And it's something that we've spoken about before, I'm guessing.
I think it's something everybody's Joseph spoken about Allen this year. Schreibvogel.
Is better known as, what's the question? Is better known as who?
Is better known as, what's his stage name?
What's his stage name?
I go to church. I'm a Christian.
Yeah, Martin.
Joe Rogan?
No. You're half right.
Oh my God. I imagine this is the kind of question where people are yelling at the screen.
There's an upcoming connection with Nicolas Cage.
Just let rain.
Yes, Alex.
Joe Exotic.
It is Joe Exotic.
Oh,
yes.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
It's, okay. I mean, how long ago was the Tiger King part of this year?
It feels like a decade, but it was only a few months.
Yeah.
Okay, question number 8, and I think the score is 4-3 to Martin.
So, yeah.
Cast your minds back to 2009, and
oh, goodness.
Nadia Suleiman entered the Guinness Book of World Records when she delivered the most children to survive in a single birth. How many
oh my goodness.
Did she deliver?
Oh my god, in a single...
I take it this is an exact number, right?
Yeah, not close. This is not a close as a ring. That was Martin. That was Martin. Yeah.
I'm going to go for 10.
Nope.
Okay. Some stay dry and
others feel the pain. Yes, Alex.
In a single birth, I'm going to say 9.
Nope.
So people have had octuplets, haven't they? So it's going to be more than that. So I'm going to go for 12.
Nope.
Oh, man. Let rain.
Some stay dry. Yeah, Alex.
13.
No.
Oh my gosh. Are we even in the...
Tissues have souls!
Yes,
Martin. Yeah, we... 11.
No. I wish... I can't give you a clue without just giving it away.
I'm a Christian.
Alex?
What's been said so far? We said...
No.
Oh, we can't say that.
No.
10.
No, I think that has been said.
Oh my god!
Still no.
It can't be more than. No, that's ridiculous. It can't be more than 10. It might be more than 14. No. It's going to be. So we've had everything from 8 upwards to 15 to 14. Sorry.
I don't know if you have.
So it's got to be. Oh, it's got to be 9 then.
You've guessed 9.
I've guessed that already.
Mm. Yes, Alex.
Did we guess 12?
Yes.
We did, yeah. And it's still wrong.
It can't be lower.
So it's going to be...
You're not God. You've got to make the guess, guys. You got to buzz in.
It's going to be 8.
Guess.
8.
Yes, it's 8. It's Octomom. She's Octomom, yeah.
Oh,
I see.
Remember Octomom, yeah.
So I thought they'd already been somebody who had 8.
I thought that maybe was like a thing. Maybe I'm just thinking of maybe the Simpsons.
They have. Simpsons. There was someone who had 8, who gave birth to 8 children in the 90s, but they didn't all survive.
I see.
So, she entered the Guinness Book of World Records as
that's madness,
and they do all they're still alive today. And crazily, I didn't realize this, she already had like 6 kids or something like that.
Oh wow. Whoa.
This was not her first time around the block.
Imagine being the person doing the scan for that.
Ha, yeah.
What the shock. You'd be like, okay, there's a few here.
But imagine like, because she would have just like been counting them. They would have been like, this is 3. No, oh, wait, no, 4. No, sorry, 5. Oh, wait, 6. And it's like, stop. Stop talking. Yeah.
You are taking the piss, right? 101 Dalmatians.
At some point, she must have just moved into hospital, right? Because once they get to a certain size, you can't physically walk around. Surely.
No, and she would have not been expecting them all to survive, for sure, right? There's no way she'd have been expecting
probably
that.
Not. Okay. But they did. Man. 6 boys, 2 girls, they all survived. 5-3 going to question 9. There's still time. Still time, Alex.
There's still an opportunity.
Fingers on buzzers. Which famous detective was created by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle? I think that was Alex.
I got a shirt. I'm a Christian.
I believe that was Sherlock Holmes.
It was Sherlock Holmes. Well done. So that's 5-4 going to the final question, number 10.
Okay.
And this is a question you both should know the answer to, but
let's
see. How many Oscars did Orson Welles win? Yes, Alex.
I don't know the answer to this. I don't know why I buzzed super quick. I was just really worried. I don't know. 9.
Nope.
6.
Should I do a closest wins? Do I need an exact answer?
You need an exact answer because I suspect Martin is closer.
Okay, exact answer is required. Martin, you're wrong.
Okay. Chocolate
rain. Yes, Alex.
5.
No.
No.
Okay.
You're not God.
Yes, Martin?
8. 8.
No. Stay dry and others feel the pain. Yes, Alex.
7.
No.
What?
You're not. Yes, Martin.
10.
No.
Chocolate rain. This is super engaging podcast for everyone.
I should have varied my questions a bit more.
What hasn't been said? 9.
You said you began saying with nine. That was your first guess, Alex.
I don't know.
You don't know who has the soul who died.
Yes, Martin.
11.
No. Okay, should we do...
Okay, I'm going to do closest wins, otherwise we'll never get there. So, final guesses, closest wins.
Okay.
All right. What's your final guess, Martin?
10.
Okay, Alex.
It's closest wins. Okay, well, I'll go 11 then. I'll be that dick.
Ooh, 11. Closest wins. Martin is closer.
Damn it.
The legendary Orson Welles, as we all know, darling of the cinema, creator of the greatest film ever made, won one Oscar for Best Original Screenplay, which he shared with Herman L. Mankiewicz for Citizen Kane.
See, just because I watched the YouTube clip a lot does not mean I know any information about Orson Welles.
And for people listening at home, I'm sure some of them already know this and might be calling me out. He did also win an honorary Oscar in 1971, but that doesn't really count. So, either way, Martin's still the closest. So 12. Martin wins today's quiz.
Damn it. Well done.
6-4. I needed the victory. It was close, though. That was close.
The thing is, Robin, as soon as you said, shall we do closest wins, I was thinking, oh, you want a tiebreak here. So I started to go up rather than down in my guesses.
Mm. Oh, so to enable me to do the tiebreak.
Yeah, because I thought you were going to go. Yeah. Well, I thought you were going to go for tiebreak. So I thought I was trying to second guess you, and I thought you were going to be like, if we do closest wins, it'll give Alex the point because he'd be closer, which means we get a tiebreak. So I started to go for higher up because that means I'll be closer to where Alex's original guess was. And then it just got ridiculous.
Yeah. I was surprised that you went higher, and that explains it. I'm surprised that Alex went even higher than that.
Did you feel the same, Alex? Were you thinking?
No, because I would have agreed to that. I thought the opposite, because Robin kind of went, ooh, when you made your guess. And then was like, shall we do closest wins? And I was like, no, definitely not. So after that, I just suddenly thought, you know what? There is no way the great Orson Welles didn't get that many Oscars.
Ton of Oscars.
But apparently not.
He should have got one. He should have got one for the French Champagne.
Does he do anything?
What was the brand of the
Paul Masson.
Paul Masson.
Paul Masson, yeah. Fermented in the bottle.
It's fermented in the bottle, and like the best French champagnes, it's vintage.
It's vintage dated.
Well done, Martin. Well done.
Yes, well done.
Thank you.
Well
deserved victory. Back in the game.
I believe that's still Alex's top of the league, but Martin is closely behind.
Yeah.
It must be.
I think I've had fewer games,
You've had fewer games.
No,
yeah.
Actually, you're tied. Oh, no, because Martin's got six.
I've had more games.
Six games, three wins, and Alex
three
is
wins.
On five
You've
games,
got...
three wins.
Three wins.
Yeah, it's close. Yeah. And I'm at the bottom. Do you want to do the bonus question?
As always.
Yeah. So, in the UK, when was the last execution carried out? This can be a closest right. wins, if you like.
I'm a Christian.
Yes, Martin.
Was it 1972?
Okay, and Alex?
No, it was the 50s.
Wait, what's he
carry on.
What's he guess?
I think
I'm going to guess
1955.
So Martin, you said
1972.
Alex said 1955.
Yes.
Oh, Martin's closer. 1964.
Oh wow!
Was it
really?
So yeah,
really close. In fairness,
in England,
1964. Yeah. Wow!
And then
there was the 70s. Actually, was the last. What I was thinking of. Was the last time they used the guillotine in France? It was something mental, like in the 70s.
Yeah, they brought
that's
it out once.
Horrifying.
Christopher was Lee was apparently a witness there. The Saruman and Count Dooku.
Why?
He was. Yeah. I don't know. I think he was just young and there happened
just
to be there.
There.
But apparently, it was wasn't it so traumatic and grim that they brought it back out into circulation, and that was the first one they did again. And they were like, no, never again.
Yeah,
1977.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So when was Star Wars released then?
1977, May 1977.
77, that's what I was thinking. So this was after Star Wars was released.
Guillotine
September.
Someone.
Wow.
Guillotine someone in France.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Mad.
I mean, the thing is, of execution methods, is it like the worst? Is hanging any better? What's the... This isn't a question to ask when we're wrapping up the podcast.
Yeah. But please let us know your thoughts in the comments below on whatever platform you're listening to us.
What's your vote? Preferred
hanging,
method?
Beheading, lethal injection, or firing squad? Let us know your preference below. Mm. That actually we might discuss that in a future podcast. That seems like an interesting topic that we might be able to make a podcast out of. Well done, Martin, on your victory. And
thank you
both for being here, for having this wonderful discussion with me. And thank you all for listening at home. And I hope you enjoyed this, and I hope you found it more than just interesting. And we'll see you next time.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Hey, guys. Have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.